Next item is the report from the digital distribution on the digital distribution project from Rob Robinson, who's been the hired as the consultant on that, leading to his leave of absence from the board, which is the reason he's not participating in votes on this board at the time right now. Rob, do you want to go ahead?
Yes, as soon as I find my report, Mr. Chair. Can we bring up the Charles Aznavour lighting a little bit? Okay, thanks. I'd like to distribute a copy of this to everyone after the meeting. Can you hear me?
Before you start, do you happen to have at least one copy you could give to the people who are doing the translation?
I certainly, yes, if I can find. I can't see. That's it. Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. The purpose of this project, basically, I'd like to remind everyone, is to develop a strategic plan for digital distribution. What I'm going to do in this report is touch on some of the areas that the plan addresses. But I would like everybody to bear in mind that a key part of this project is going to be to identify major donors and research partners. And one of the things, therefore, that we're going to have to do to attract these types of people is to have pilot programs and innovative projects that we can use to target the funding of major donors. So in addition to doing a plan, we have to begin some pilots that are going to attract the money.
Hold on, Rob. We don't have order, the attention please? Of the room. If anybody needs to have a conversation, if you could please go to another room, we'd very much appreciate it. We want to try and focus, and it gets more and more difficult the more tired we get. Know how difficult it is for you, too.
Thank you.
So if everyone in the audience could please give your attention to Rob. Thanks.
The other thing is that I'm not a lone ranger on this project. I've never pretended that I am a technology specialist. So I'm spending parts of every single day working with John Almella, with Pete Caracas, and with Nathan Moore. We are working to develop some of the specifications for the infrastructure, and we hope to work more closely with local station staff as the plan develops. Okay, the first area that we're looking at in developing the plan could be called licensing and legal issues, but it's really about the administration of rights. The first issue for us is to clear the rights so that we can redistribute the program content that's produced at all of our local stations. Over 95% of the programming that Pacifica produces is not produced by paid staff, it's produced by volunteers. And our approach to the Licensing and Distribution Task Force has been to acknowledge the contribution and the ownership rights of those parties, so that when we go back to them and say, now we want your support to redistribute this, we're going to have that in writing. So clearing those rights is key. We are almost completed with legal review of the first draft agreement. So that's where we are. One of the things that we're going to need from the PNB very soon will be your approval to go forward and get agreements signed from the local station producers. Mr. Chair, it's really very, there's too many distractions.
We can't control the wedding, and we have Spanish translation, and as far as I know, those are the only noises going on in the room right now.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
The second rights issue are external applications. We have been working with Creative Commons to develop hybrid licenses that will permit the people that produce programming to agree for it to be redistributed for uses that they approve. So we're really in pretty good shape with that, and Creative Commons has recently assigned more people to work with us in developing some projects that relate to Creative Commons licensing for a PodSafe music library, which I'll talk about in a little bit. The other thing that's a longer-range project for us has to do with best practices issues. This is not going to be done quickly, but I think we know how to go about doing it. For example, one of the things that we're going to have to do will be to work with the Pacifica Radio Archives and local station staff on to conduct case studies of where copyright issues arise involving the programming that we produce and the programming that the archives is trying to use. Additionally, we're going to have to explore alternative licensing approaches for intractable copyright problems. In other words, regardless of whether or not Sound Exchange approves a statutory copyright license, for the copyrighted music material, it is likely that we may have to research ownership on copyrighted content and find ways of getting other statutory licenses or even negotiating rights with artists and companies ourselves. And I'm not saying that we have to do this all the time, but it's a practice that as an organization in the communications business, we're going to have to learn about. The point of that is we should be able to develop tutorials, hopefully even some online tutorials eventually, so staff will know what to do when photographs are involved or film clips as well as music and other types of copyright issues. We also are going to have to explore software systems that will enable us to research some of those issues and to store the information from our own programming. One of the things I would just like to remind everybody is that because of the Copyright Ruling Board, Copyright Royalty Board ruling, as well as the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, whether we like it or not, and whether or not Sound Exchange signs off on a statutory license, all of our stations will have to begin archiving and tracking and searching the program and the resource content of the programming that they produce. So the sooner we get down to it, the better we'll be. PodSafe music libraries. In order for us to be sure that we're not going to become embroiled in copyright issues and mulcted in high royalty costs, one of the things we need to develop for the internet programming that we broadcast, whether it's first of all prepared for terrestrial broadcast or if it's developed specifically for the internet, is we need to have musical content that can be used in the production of those programs, whether it's bumper music or introduction music or theme music or music that's actually used for a music program. This is something that we have to begin. As many of you know, WFMU, a station which began internet broadcasting in the mid-90s in Jersey City, New Jersey, has recently gotten a $400,000 grant from the Rockefeller Philanthropy Advisors for its own internet music archive, which is already several years old. So this is something that progressive internet broadcasters are doing already. The Creative Commons people have now designated their creative director to work with us to implement a PodSafe library, particularly to make sure that staff know how to approach musicians with the Creative Commons licenses. Also in discussions, Eva Georgia from KPFK has agreed to implement a PodSafe pilot project here, and hopefully they will be able to meet with the Creative Commons creative director sometime within the next week or a few days. So we are on the road to beginning that, and hopefully what we learn immediately at KPFK, we can begin migrating to some of the other stations that are interested in doing that. So that means that within a couple of months, we should have a significant amount of content. It may not be what we wish we have, but it will enable us to put our programming up on the internet.
And to solicit funds from donors and other resource partners.
Yeah, and for example, Ursula met with a guy at Grassroots Radio, or was it NFCB, a PsyCon, who represents a musicians union, and they're interested in donating their musical content to an organization like Pacifica. And we would hope that we would work with other libraries like WFMU so that we can share that content, maybe even develop search engines for those things. Some of the infrastructure needs that John Almella in particular and Pete Caracas are beginning to develop have to do with the following. First of all, in going into this area, we're going to have to make sure that all of our local stations have got technical standards and protocols for the streams that they're putting out. For example, they need to be probably streamed at about 128 kbps. So some of the stations may not have enough bandwidth to do that immediately. I believe that KPFA is sharing some bandwidth with another station. So that's an infrastructure issue for us. Some of the others include, for example, if we're going to begin streaming nationally, we're going to have a dedicated computer that streams the content that gets bundled by the national office. We're also going to have to develop an automated archival system which is capable of gathering high bitrate files from the different local station streams so that we can take that programming and put it together so it can be streamed on the internet. We're going to have software to run that. And one of the things that we're also going to be working on are developing databases that will enable us to identify and track our program content, as well as put in the metadata and the tagging so that we know what's there. I know that this is going to present all of us with an additional administrative burden, but the reality is that we're going to be forced to do this as a result of some of the decisions that have been made through DMCA and the CRB. We also are going to have to develop some software interfaces for the PodSafe music. What we're really going to need for that is search capacity, because many of our programmers are going to be looking for music with a certain theme or with names and words in it. And I think one of the great things we can do is give them a search capacity for those libraries. So those are just some of the things that are coming up in the infrastructure. We will, of course, be looking to major donors to help us do that, and we'll let you know as soon as possible when we've got the complete specifications for that. Resource partners and major donors. I would like to announce tonight that about a week ago, the Internet Archive agreed to become a major resource partner with Pacifica on this project. Yes, and I will send everybody a little informational article, an interview with their founder, so that you know what the Internet Archive or archive.org is all about. But they have got enormous amounts of bandwidth. They're basically trying to create an Internet Library of Alexandria with all of the wisdom of civilization, not just in one form, but in the languages of several different civilizations. So they measure their data in, I believe it's called petabytes. We were talking about terabytes. But isn't it petabytes, David?
I don't know about that.
The really big chunks. So, and the other thing is that the people that founded the Internet Archive basically made their money in the Internet development business developing search engines. So they have tremendous technical capacity as an Internet Archive that relates to many of the things that we're doing now. We have problems with our archives with tapes. They, on the other hand, are scanning 500 books a day. So that's that. Additionally, in August, we will be meeting with Dr. Lessig, who's been out of the country of Creative Commons, and we will be talking in detail about the identity of some of the potential major donors and the resource partners, projects that we can get them to buy into, for example, the PodSafe Archive, and other ways of approaching them. I think one of the things that's going to impress these people a great deal, in addition to being able to participate in a specific project like a PodSafe Music Archive or some of the work that we're faced with still at the Pacifica Radio Archives, will be for us to begin programming our vision for the type of media commonwealth we would like Pacifica to become that won't change our mission but will augment it. And so we're going to be looking to talk to you a lot more to get support for some programming that will bring some of these visionary concepts about media and democracy to a broader audience. There's some other resource partners that we're going to be talking with in the next few weeks, and I'll keep you posted on that. Again, the administrative concerns, we really are going to need PNB support and the national support to make sure that we can make a strong case to our producers and programmers to agree to let us redistribute the program content. We're really going to need your help doing that. We think that we're acknowledging their contribution, but we are going to be asking them to sign a piece of paper, so we really will look for your support in that. We're probably going to need a policy that will... let me pass over that. The other thing is that in developing the best practices down the road, we're not trying to put together guidelines around copyright issues that come directly from lawyers. But what we are going to need is to take case studies around a newsroom, a music program, a program that is doing book reviews, where we're quoting literature, where we're using speeches, or where we're using film clips, for example. And we're going to need to come up with the types of situations that we need to resolve from a legal standpoint around some of these copyright issues. If we do that, I think that we're going to be able to make it much easier for the producers and the stations to know how to navigate around these issues in the future. So that concludes my report. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have about 5 minutes for questions. Bob, then Bertolt.
Rob, that's a great report, and thanks for all the great, really important work you've done on this issue. First, a question. Have you started to explore some of the websites that you're thinking that we would want to approach for carrying our digital content down the road?
No, I have not. You mean exploring, when you say exploring the websites?
Well, who would be the ultimate recipients of our content?
Well, initially we would be streaming material on the internet, but we think that we would be making some of the program content available in a way like what we have on the audio port.
Okay, Bob, is the question that you're thinking that the idea is that we're going to contract with some other website and they'll carry Pacifica programming?
I thought that was the main purpose of going through the whole process of developing an agreement with the unpaid producers, was so that other venues outside of the Pacifica Foundation can take the content and use it with our legal permission.
Sure.
That's right, but it's not the same as us going out and contracting with some particular broadcaster. The idea is to let other people develop that distribution, which promotes the awareness of Pacifica and link back to Pacifica.
Right, but part of this, not a main purpose, but one purpose was to develop revenue, and that would only come through agreements with particular venues.
We can have that conversation, but that's not the only way this can generate revenue. I mean, for one thing, there are a lot of foundations that will fund this kind of development. The revenue comes from developing traffic of various sorts, and the idea is that in the same way that YouTube is developing traffic for a whole broad array of content, we're not going to YouTube and saying, will you take this? I mean, KPFA has already taken the smart step of putting their content up on MySpace and the rest, but the idea is to let the content travel out everywhere.
Okay, my two suggestions. First, quickly, just as I've talked before about the idea of a Pacifica record label, I think the PodSafe Music Archives is a great step in and of itself, but it's also a step towards actually moving towards a fundraising relationship that's a win-win between the artist and Pacifica. And so if that can be built into the initial documents and structures of the archive, that the notion that one option could be to allow us to sell, to repackage their work into CDs and sell them,
yes.
And they would get some and we would get some.
Yeah, I think that we definitely have thought about that. We've got a lot
early
of foundational
stage. Yeah.
Stuff.
No, I understand, but just to keep that in mind from the beginning. And the final thing is just to think about the area again down the road of multimedia approaches. Like, I was just part of a project last week with another BAI producer who has a cable TV show where he videoed me as I was interviewing for my radio show, and so it'll be shown on his show and on my show, and that's something we could use for digital distribution for much more exciting, you know, the visual element than just the audio element. And maybe we can encourage producers to make agreements with their cable TV public access stations to have those partnerships.
Yeah, Bob, the license that's being contemplated actually has two parts, the commercial and the non-commercial, and the license we would sign with artists would allow us to use that content for purposes of generating revenue. Bertolt.
It's kind of a technical question. You mentioned creating of a metadata.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my understanding is it's a data warehouse that would have to be indexed, catalog, and so forth and so on. You know, is who is going to undertake that project?
Well,
one
of the reasons we want to work with somebody like the Internet Archive, if you go to archive.org, for example, look at their live music collection. They've got interfaces and data specifications for everything they do. They indicate who recorded it, what they recorded it on, where it was recorded. And we're going to have to begin doing things like that. By virtue of partnering with us, what they're saying is if we already have off-the-shelf stuff that we've used that's usable for you, we'll work with you to do that. Or if we can explain to you how to engineer those things, we'll tell you the best way to do it. So, yes, it will take us into a lot of areas. One of the reasons we want these major resource partners or resource partners is because they've either got the expertise or the capabilities that will enable us to grow faster than we ordinarily would if we had to build the infrastructure and raise the money in two separate steps.
Yeah. Go ahead, and then Thomas, and then we're going
to
be done.
This is not my own comment, but just to what you have to do when you're the programmers, you need to enter that metadata. It's some of the basic data, but what Rob's talking about is these organizations have the software that allows those search capabilities to take place once that metadata is in their system. But, you know, they don't know about your program until you type that data out and include it with your MP3 that's going up or with your file that's going up into their database. But they have the software that allows the search capability.
Thomas.
I quickly want to go back to point. Can't hear me now? Oh, you can? You know, I was on to what Bob said earlier, and I'm not quite sure if the discussion led to an adequate answer. It seems to me that even with Creative Commons, with the material going out through the Internet, perhaps for free, there ought to be an informed estimate about how large that audience would be and what that audience might be made up of so that we can see the feasibility of this downstream distribution network through digital distribution and Creative Commons. In other words, we have it at KPFA and KPFK and KPFT where people can copy programs off. And I know from my experience on the board, I haven't heard any measure of how popular that access has been. Now we're talking about digital distribution, and I'm not clear, we're sure, about how popular, if at all, it would be. Number two, with regard to whether we could sell any of the material, two things come to mind. First of all, something that really stands out in my mind, and that is how much of a market would we have Pacifica and the programmers to sell material that people can copy for free off this Internet through digital distribution? That's number one. Then number two, I'm just kind of concerned about one thing that hits me. And that is, if there's Creative Commons, those of us who seem to now, through this discussion we've had on the board and others in the national office and maybe some others at the local stations know a little bit more about it, what's to stop us from copying the materials off the Creative Commons, this digital distribution, and selling it in competition with Pacifica? I think we have to come up with a policy that protects against that or endorse it explicitly so everybody in Pacifica knows that Thomas could just copy the stuff off and with his inside information compete with Pacifica and the programmer. Those are three concerns that I don't think we've addressed, and I think we need to address that if we're going to make this work.
Yeah, I'd like to take a crack at that. Lou Hill talked in his 1951 essay about converting an imagined equity into a vested illusion. And think about that for a second.
Here we go.
Ben's a finance guy, and he knows exactly what I'm saying. Converting an imagined equity into a vested illusion. And so there's this idea out there that we're going to be selling this content all over the place. That's not the point. The point is to allow the content to move out to as large an audience as possible. Because I don't know if people remember this, but our economic model is get as many people to hear it as possible and then ask them. So we, when we broadcast, don't ask how many radios are turning on and where are they turning on. And before we put a show on, how many more radios can we measure? We're getting it out there as widely as possible. And so one of the things that is going to be that copyright holders are going to use to restrict people who want to get their message out as far as possible is to tell them that they have to track it, they have to label it, and they have to pay for every transmission. That, in the future, more than the control of who owns the distribution channel, but who holds the rights to what you're doing and can you show us that you hold the rights, is what is going to impair people with business models like ours. So the point is to allow the entire community of civic media to grow in a way that copyright holders cannot shut down, so that nobody who wanted to build an audience would have to be afraid that they couldn't use this content because they might get nailed the way in the Napster suit, individual people who were downloading or trading stuff got nailed as a way to chill any of the redistribution that was going on. That's the point of this. Now, anybody who's using content to generate revenue on the basis of generating audiences will be required to enter into agreements with us that protect our financial interests, okay? And the question still remains, if you're going to say, well, who would do that if they can get it somewhere free elsewhere? Unless we're thinking we're going to be charging for something that's up on our sites, that's already the case. It's already being given away some way for free. So this is leveraging the entire community of people who feel passionate about ourselves and guaranteeing them that they have the right to let as many other people know about this as they want to. And that's the point.
But just, it is a legitimate question. The way we raise money now is we ask the people that hear our programming to support primarily our local stations. We still can and should put attribution on all of the programming that we put out there that points them back to a Pacifica website that asks them to support people that produce and distribute this types of programming. Or there may even be pitches on some of the content. If we have concerts, live concerts where the artists have agreed to do this, we may want to set up sites so that people can donate money, and some of it will go to Pacifica that distributed this, and some of it may go to the artists. We're opening the way to do some of those things. The commercial, when we talk about commercial uses of this, what we're really talking about is other stations that say, gee, I like this show. Can I make copies of it and give it away as a premium? And what we're going to say is you can if you ask us and agree to our terms. So those are the ways that we've originally and still plan to make money off this. But the point is that those audiences are growing. If you remember what was said by Brian yesterday about the Up All Night on BBC Five, they've got 500,000 listeners. They have 7 million internet listeners.
One last point, Thomas, is to your point. This board is going to have to approve any licensing scheme. In other words, the contracts policy and everything else says that before we establish what the final license will be, we're going to have to approve it. So we will see it. We will get the opportunity. This is not to discuss it, debate it, hear input from everybody. But before we can consider it, a vast amount of work needs to get done to work out logistics and the rest. And we also want, and one of the points of this is, to be contacting other organizations who will help support all the development we need to do in digital distribution, which we simply don't have the resources to develop ourselves.
The two of you provided three fine statements. I don't dispute that. But you didn't answer any of my three questions, but I'm going to repeat the last again, and that is, What protection, if any, should we establish so that those of us on the national board and in the national office who would be insiders would not, through the Creative Commons, copy, let's say, the 20 very best programs out of all of Pacifica and sell them and somehow luck up and make a profit? And all I'm saying is, if Dave, as you said, the wonder through this all is that it'll freely be distributed throughout the whole universe by the internet, and what's so remarkable is it'll be distributed for free such that our audience would be enlarged, our content would be more appreciated, and the idea of selling it would be obsolete. I'm saying if that's the case, then well, we ought to just sign a pact right now. I won't sell none.
The license.
So all that none of you, neither of you addressed that concern.
Okay, let me answer it real straightforwardly. The license prohibits the sale of the content by anybody other than the license holder, which would be the producer, without a contract with Pacifica. So it restricts commercial uses. What it doesn't restrict is civic uses.
I'm saying
this is kind of point of order. This is kind of falling into committee work.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, and I should have yielded the chair. Sarv, and we're actually at. No, but I shouldn't be chairing. His point is well taken. It's not fine. His point is well taken. I'm participating in debate. You should take the chair.
How much time do we have on this item?
There's negative 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think the time is up. So unless there's extension of time, I think we'll move on to the next item.
Well, just a 30-second answer.
What is the third? Oh, no. Who's the question directed to?
To Thomas.
Thomas?
Yeah.
Thomas, so, who was your question directed to?
My question was directed to Rob, and Rob and Dave responded.
Okay.
And we're so late, and we still have so many items,
okay.
Mr. Chair, maybe.
So that, I think time is
but
up.
But I think I understand
unless
his
there's
question.
Extension of time, we can move on to the next
seconds.
Item.
We're past the 30 seconds.
Yeah, we're past the...
Yeah, but unless... You
want to extend it?
No one else.
30
well,
seconds?
Okay, the answer, Thomas, is that yes. 10,000 college students around the country could be downloading the file for free, and they could make CDs, and they could go down to Venice Beach and sell them, like I just saw some guys a couple days ago selling CDs. But if Sony Columbia Pictures, who's out here filming today, used any of our material, they would need to enter in a contract because they aren't going to take the chance of using material without clearance and copyright. And so any real money, would have to be done through a contract.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So the time is up. So
okay.
Unless
and I apologize to the board. Thank you for your point of order, Michael.